The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, for she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters, I bring you grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is the first Sunday in the month of June, and so I think of June as the start of the summer. As I begin my message this morning, though, I want to rewind the clock about 6 months to a Sunday in November, specifically the last Sunday of November, November 30th. Of 2025. Does anyone happen to remember what Sunday that would have been in the church year? I'm hearing some murmuring. Okay. It was the first Sunday of Advent, which is the start of the church year. We talk about this many times. The church year does not begin on January 1st. It begins with Advent 1. This past year, that was Sunday, November 30th. Why do I think about that? Because we're about now 6 months away from that, and so we are now beginning the second half of the church year. And at those kind of inflection points, I always find it helpful for myself to sort of step back and get some perspective on where we've been and where we're going. And so just to remind you about the first half of the church year, again, it begins with Advent, which is, of course, a season of anticipation for Christmas. And at Christmas, of course, we celebrate Jesus' birth, and we have Epiphany, which is all about Jesus being made known to the nations symbolically through the wise men or the magi. Then we have a little bit of what's called ordinary time. Then we move very quickly to Lent. Lent, like Advent, is a time of preparation. In this case, it's not for Jesus' birth, but for his great sacrifice. So it begins with Ash Wednesday, and it moves us to Holy Week, when we remember Jesus' final or last supper with his disciples, his arrest and death on Good Friday. And then, of course, Easter, which is the high point of the year, and appropriately, Easter lasts 50 days. It's the longest season of the church year. And then we celebrate what's sometimes called the birth of the church with Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. And then just last week, we celebrated Holy Trinity, which reminds us of that the God we worship is a God who is in relationship, okay, with God's very self. So the first half of the year, I like to think of as an opportunity every single year for us to retell the story of Jesus. beginning even before his birth, then his birth, his life, ministry, his healing, his death and resurrection, and then the giving of the Holy Spirit. Which means the second half of the church year, I always think of as a chance for us to then step back and say, okay, we've heard the story again. We've been reminded of what Jesus has done for us. Now what? How are we going to respond? You'll notice, by the way, I'm wearing green pyramids. We have green pyramids for the first time in a while. The first half of the church here is this sort of festival of liturgical colors, everything from blue and white and gold and scarlet and purple and pink and gold and white. And the second half of the church here is largely green. It's sometimes called the long green season. Which is a color of growth, of faithfulness, of discipleship, for exactly the reason I just mentioned. We've heard the story of Jesus, now what? Now, it turns out that the gospel for today, I think, and I don't think this is why it's in the lectionary in our three-year cycle because of this, but I actually think it's a very helpful gospel reading for us to think about precisely that question. How do we respond to the story of Jesus? How are we going to live now? And just to be clear, by the way, I don't have a lot of time up here. I'm going to lift up two ways that we respond. There are more, okay? Also, I'm not suggesting that you can't respond to the story of Jesus in the first half of the year. You're allowed to respond to the story of Jesus in your life any time in the year. I'm just saying in the church year, the second half is sort of when we intentionally think about, okay, well, what do we do? And I actually think reading this gospel in light of that is helpful because absent that, this gospel feels a little bit disconnected from itself. It sort of has two stories in it that I'm not sure how I would connect other than by doing it the way I'm going to. So, here we go. This is Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 9. And again, I want to lift up two ways today that we respond to once again being told and hearing the story of Jesus. The first comes right away in the first verse of this reading, verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And so the first and simple but profound point I will make about us as followers of Jesus, it's implied in that very language, is that we are called to live our lives with a posture of listening, opening our ears to a God who is always trying to say to us, "I have work for you to do. Come, follow me." There are a few things in my ministry that I feel more convinced or convicted of that fact. And just to tease that fact out a little bit, I'm particularly convinced and convicted that when God calls each of you to follow God, God is calling you because each of you can do something that no one else can do. No one else has ever done. No one else will ever do. God needs you, in other words, to accomplish God's work in the world. And by the way, one of the beautiful things of a community like this is that we spend our lives in community discerning with one another, what is it exactly that God is asking of me right now? And we do that very helpfully in conversation. I don't have time to talk to each and every one of you this morning about what your call is, but I will direct your attention again to the partners in the gospel, which I mentioned in my welcome. A couple weeks ago, we had a wonderful event called The Art of Neighboring. More than 90 women came to it. I was not there. Turns out I'm not a woman. But I heard it was fabulous. And because of that, we sort of want to lift up ways we can be neighbors to those around us throughout the summer. And so we're going to have something in the partners every week slightly differently. And I'll just lift these up for you. If you're looking for some concrete, specific, practical way you can respond to Jesus' call in your life today, these are not bad things to consider. Be present to those around you. Love in particular. Practice by taking one small step, even if it feels awkward. And I will draw your attention to that final sentence in this entry. When you do this, you are reflecting the love of God in a way no one else can. So if you don't respond to that love, something is being missed in God's kingdom. I say that not to shame you or to twist your arm, but to elevate the responsibility and role that each and every one of you has. So again, the first thing is a posture of listening to try to hear the voice of Jesus saying to you, follow me. I have important work for you to do. The second point is, again, connected to the second half of this passage today, the gospel, where not one, but two women are healed. One is the daughter of an important person in the synagogue who comes to Jesus very publicly and asks Jesus to go to the house. On his way to the house, he's interrupted, and this next person is much quieter and gentler, but both of them are in need of healing. And by the way, this is what Jesus does all the time. What does he do? He goes around and he heals people. And so the second point I would say is, if we are followers of Jesus, part of our posture is a posture that says, maybe I'm also in need of being healed. And maybe Jesus can heal me. I'm reminded in this context of a gentleman named Richard Rohr. Does anyone know the name Richard Rohr here? He's a Franciscan priest, a very important theologian and author. I've spoken about this somewhere, I don't think in a sermon, but he was in a podcast recently. He's an elderly gentleman, and the host of the podcast said to Richard Rohr, could you just summarize your life's work in a few sentences? Which seems like a slightly unfair thing to ask someone, but he said, well, I guess I would say this. He said, I think as Christians, we have tended to focus on the sin and judgment lane, which means we focus either on reward or punishment. And he said, and I agree with him, that's not particularly helpful. What it does is it either for our own lives, we think, it leads us either to arrogance or despair. We think, oh my gosh, I'm awesome. I'm going to be rewarded by God. Or we think, maybe I haven't measured up, and now I'm going to be punished, right? So in our own hearts, we worry about it, or we celebrate it unnecessarily. And as we look at other people, again, this lane of judgment and sin tends to make us think, oh, well, you're in, and you're not. You're going to be rewarded. You're going to be punished. Again, not helpful. Can I get an amen to that? Okay. Instead, Richard Rohr says, rather than going the lane of judgment and sin, I would rather stay in the Jesus lane. And in the Jesus lane, it's all about brokenness and what he calls, I love this, our eternal need for healing. Each and every one of us. Right? Each and every one of us are broken. Each and every one of us has an eternal need for healing. And when we take that posture, we can have a little bit of mercy on ourselves, recognizing that we cannot save ourselves, and we can also have a little bit of mercy and grace for others, recognizing that we probably don't know what they're going through. I love the confession that we have this morning. Of course, we confess all the time in worship. Why? Because we're broken, right? We confess to you all our sins. Our burden is heavy and we cannot free ourselves. In your mercy, call us back to you. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Restore us to dwell in your peace. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you what? Rest. Who doesn't want rest? In today's gospel, Jesus says, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners, right? And this is related to something I say repeatedly, and I don't apologize for saying it again. The church is a hospital for sinners. It is not a hotel for saints. Friends, if you think you've got this life thing all figured out, if you've got all the answers, if you're going along and everything is absolutely perfect, you have no concerns in your life, I don't have much to say to you. But if you come here with heavy burdens, with concerns, if you come here broken in some ways that maybe no one else knows about, I have incredibly good news for you and someone who can help. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Good and loving God, thank you for drawing us together as your people Today, I pray you will open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to understand how you call each and every one of us to a particular task that only we can do. And I also pray you will give us the courage to recognize that in our brokenness, when we come to you, you will heal us. And all this we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.